SFC Retro Show. I'm Frank Rowland, here with my co-host,
Matt Jenkins from Xavier.
And we have our guest today is Josh Hinkenbein. He is the member of Broke Neck. It's one of his current projects. Josh, tell us some of your past projects, which you did in the scene from around the area.
So that goes back quite a ways. Got some stuff for you today from the 90s, the 1900s. I'll play you some of that. That was a band called Grinch. We'll get into that more maybe later, but
sure.
And then just like throughout the years, it's been a handful of bands that have played out. A lot of them haven't made it past the practice room. But I think after Grinch, the next one that kind of got to play out quite a bit was a band called Faustian Nihilist, which I was doing before Broke Neck, but Broke Neck started coming along pretty soon after that.
Okay. And then when did that form?
No. That was probably around like 2004.
Is when Broke Neck? Or not
the Faustian Nihilist. That probably started around 2000, probably before that, in the 2002 era.
Okay.
Because after Grinch, I had been, like I said, in quite a few projects. There's also one called Bayou Hazard, where I kind of mixed the bluegrass and the heavy metal. That was fun.
Awesome.
Now that they're coming back, there's a lot of shit out there.
Right, yeah.
But, yeah, that was probably... hadn't played out with a band a whole lot, and then we got started Faustian, me and Nick Halfley did. Mm-hmm. And that's taken a lot of different changes throughout the years, but we actually have we're getting ready to put out an album, which this is like the seventh iteration of Faustian, and that's gonna be pretty cool, even though it's not really doing much, but get all that old music out there and finally record it that's just been around for a long time.
Right. Is there any possibility of any kind of reunion ever happening, like a one-off or anything?
Yeah, I mean, I would like to play a couple shows again, and it's a three-piece. It's me, Jason Asbury, and Oak Smith.
Okay.
So, like, we're always down for just doing whatever.
Oh, yeah, jamming. Absolutely.
But, yeah, we're all just kind of, like, busy with our own stuff, and Jason's just living the fucking dream.
Right. Storm Ruler, yeah.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Storm Ruler. We're getting ready to come out with another one, too.
Yeah, so with Faustian, did you have any material, anything that you've recorded?
Yeah, I brought us a song, and we can listen to it now.
Okay,
and
awesome.
It's going to be a heavy one, so buckle up.
What's it called?
It's called I Am the Hypocrite.
Okay.
What's it about?
Well, I don't really know. Faustian Nihilist lyrics. There was a long stretch of time where I didn't even have lyrics, and you just go up to the microphone and you start going, nobody noticed that you didn't have lyrics. So, like, I didn't actually write any lyrics until we started recording it, and then they started putting them together, and it's just like chunks of thoughts, I think,
Yeah. Instead
of just one main.
When was this recorded?
We record this down at Shadrick's in Cape Girardeau. I think it might have been like 3 or 4 years ago. I know it was right before, or it was right after Storm Ruler took off, so.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. Right on. Well, let's give it a listen.
Thank you.
So that wasn't Broke Neck.
Was not Broke Neck. It sounded really good. That was.
So who all was playing what in that?
Yeah, that was Jason Asbury on drums, and he did like the higher screechy black metal vocals. And then Oak was on bass, and he got to play a really nice Rickenbacker for that recording.
Nice.
We all like, holy crap, that's amazing. And then I was doing, I'd written these songs, like I said, 20 years ago.
Okay, yeah.
And so they just kind of stuck around, and we reworked some of them a little bit, and I think there's even one that was a bunch of my riffs that I've just had, and we stuck them together, and it's the last song on the album, so that's going to be pretty cool.
Was any of them like anything from Grinch that you reworked or anything from?
No, what happened with Grinch was after Grinch split up, a little while later, me and Clayton Hamburg were playing together and got Calvin involved in a project called Homeostasis Paradox,
okay,
which is another ridiculous band name that we used to come up with back in the day. So we, man, the stuff that we put together as a three-piece in Clayton's practice pad was some of my favorite material I've ever been a part of. But we did not ever leave the practice room.
Yeah,
like,
right.
This was a band for like probably 2 or 3 years.
And what years was that?
This was probably like 2000.
2000, okay.
Up until like 2000, you know, whenever Faustian. I think there was kind of an overlap with Faustian. And
then Calvin, when did he go on to like Not Waving?
That was actually... And I, that's kind
it's
of kind
buzzing. Of overlapping in there.
Yeah,
I mean, it kind of seemed like. But mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, he had been a part of Not Waving for a little bit at that point, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that yeah. All kind of gets fuzzy that
it
far.
It does
back.
Get fuzzy way back there, you know, as we get a little older.
Yeah,
because so. You know, it's crazy to think about. You know, we're talking like well over 20 years ago, mm-hmm. and if not longer, you know, 25. And
yeah, yeah.
If, you know, some maybe even 30, 30 you know, yeah. depending, you know, so.
There's been a lot of brain damage.
Right.
By one means or the other.
Right, right, absolutely. So, you know, coming up into music, what was some of your influences that, you know, what made you want to play?
Yeah, that's, yeah, it's cool because I've kind of, had this conversation with other people before, and it's like there's influences and then what made me start to play, because like bluegrass music and the old country was always around me. I grew up in the sticks, and like
yeah,
it's all my family listened to was
right,
that
right.
kind of stuff. And like whenever I finally got to be like, I think it was like 4th or 5th grade or something, I hadn't really heard a whole lot of rock music, and somebody had a Nirvana CD
and then he
busted out Soundgarden and all the old
right.
stuff, and I was like, they are screaming over the top of this stuff, and like the guitars are all distorted, and it's like, this is unlike anything I've ever heard before.
Right.
Drums? It wasn't drums in bluegrass.
Right.
Yeah, and so like it just like blew my mind, and that's kind of what got me like interested in playing guitar and stuff like that.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
So like with Grinch, who was all in Grinch? I know, like, James Parton was in that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so that started with, I don't know, it was kind of like, I had just gotten to high school, and James and Jeremy Ayers had been friends for a while at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been friends with Jeremy. Jeremy was my friend since, like, we were 8 years old or
sure,
something.
Yeah.
There wasn't a whole lot of kids out in the Kauffman area.
All right.
He lived within walking distance of my house, so.
Yeah.
So, like, I got to meet James, got to know him, and we all played music and everything. And so we started this, I don't really know what the influence was of that, because we were listening to, like, a lot of Pantera and stuff like that. So I guess it was kind of like...
Well, and if I'm not mistaken, like, wasn't Crowbar kind of heavily influenced?
Yeah.
I mean?
Yeah, yeah. That's a funny story. Jeremy called me, this is dating myself, called me on the, you know, regular phone and with an old tape recorder, played Crowbar's self-titled album over the phone to me, and I'm on the other side being like, this is super fucking heavy.
Right, right.
So that's how I heard Crowbar for the first time. So yeah, Crowbar and like I Hate God and that whole like New Orleans sludge scene was heavily ingrained with us
now,
by that point.
Correct me if I'm wrong, did you open for Crowbar?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
17 years old, I'm like, I could die happy.
I mean, that's awesome. I mean,
yeah.
you know, I mean, because that's what most people aspire, at least to the, you know,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
that level to
for,
get to at least open for, you know, a bigger known act.
Where
yeah,
was that, I mean, where was that show at?
Creepy Crawl, the old nice. Creepy Crawl. Yeah. Yeah, we'd have played at that place a couple times by that point.
Right, right.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's like, as an original band, to going up there to St. Louis, that's kind of what you look for is you're like, holy shit, these guys are coming through town. I totally want to open up for, you know.
Right, because I'd be, you know, if nothing else, I'd be a band that you just want to go see, let alone get to open for, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. And actually, at that point, I hadn't been, went to a whole lot of concerts because, like, we were poor and lived out in the sticks and didn't really do much.
Right.
And I think my first concert was like Aaron Tippin for like a Country Days or something.
I went to that one, yeah. Yep. It was a good show.
Yeah. It was a good show. I thoroughly enjoyed myself. But so, yeah, being able to finally see like a big band that you've been listening to for years and be able to open up for them, it's like that was, yeah.
Right.
Of course, we had like they backlined, so we had about a foot of stage to fit everything on there.
Very small stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we kind of got booed at one point.
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah, each to their own, right? You know, can't please everybody.
Well, I mean, looking back, I mean, we were 17 years old. I'm sure our music was not that great.
You were having fun, though. And that's really what it boils down to.
It was slow and heavy, and that's what we did.
Right. Right on. So let's talk a little bit about when you started out, I guess you're playing guitar, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that pretty exclusive? And is like the heavier the better, I'm assuming.
Yeah,
that's kind of how a lot of us started that are doing rock even.
Dude, when the Metal Zone came out, it changed my life.
Right, right. So, you know, one of the things that's very unique about, I think, with Broke Neck and some of the other projects that you're involved with is that you incorporate a variety of other instruments.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that a little bit. So, like, the banjo, I mean, you're an awesome banjo player, by the way, you know? I mean, you do... I like it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, how did you... Yeah, I know that you said kind of growing up you were listening to that type of music. Is that kind of what drew you into that?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah, actually, it kind of was because, like, when you start engulfing yourself in all of this, like, super chaotic, just heavy music all the time, it's like eventually I think as a musician or even as a person, in order to grow, you need to diversify your portfolio.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was just like it was getting out there. It's like, man, all the fucking heavy riffs are starting to sound the same.
Right.
Yeah. So I start branching out, and I really got into, like, the Delta blues and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, and then eventually it just, like, I found myself pulling my grandpa's old bluegrass tapes out of his, you know, out of his truck and popping those in. I'm like, let's listen to some more Flat and Scruggs. I haven't heard these guys in a while. And, yeah, I ended up going to a couple bluegrass festivals that I just, like, was really inspired by the players down there.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's like with metal, you get these shredding guitar solos. And with bluegrass, you get these shredding mandolin solos,
banjo solos,
and fiddle solos.
And but it's just not one pick. It's like, you know, they're using that's all their fingers.
Exactly.
So are you self-taught or did you you know, set in with some guys and kind of pick it up that way? Or
kind of a little bit of that, a little bit of everything. Like whenever I first bought the banjo, I just had no idea how to even approach this thing. So I got myself a book and taught me all the basic roles and stuff like that. And like, that's what I really like about what's going on down here at the Underground and with this music community, how it's coming up, and especially with all the podcasts. It's introducing all the musicians to each other, and I think that's a super important part of, like, learning is playing with other people.
Right, right.
Like, you could sit at home and read books and practice off YouTube all day long, but, you know, you just need to get out there and get a feel of it.
Right, and that's what I like about the open jams here, and even for myself, you know. You know, I've been a certain player for a long time, and you know, as you know, I went from like really heavy stuff with the invasive to like, you know, I needed that break, so I just went exclusively as an acoustic player, and you know,
try to hit the other extreme,
right?
Yeah. So yeah, that influence, and that's again, whenever you start getting out there and playing with other people, there's so much influence. You could draw so much influence on that.
Yeah. Right, right, right. And, you know, and I found that, like, here especially, that's what's great about this community. And I kind of call it a family, you know. I really feel like, you know, everybody that is the core here that hangs out, you know, where we really are a family. And, you know, everybody's willing to help, like, the newcomers, you know. You know, people get up on stage, they're unsure, you know, we're very encouraging and get up there and, you know, willing to show and share that knowledge. And, you know,
yeah.
And so I think we all get something out of it.
Absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
But so what are some of your plans moving forward into the future? You know, because this show kind of bridges that, you know, bridge the past to the future. And because, you know, Broke Neck is kind of bridged that gap even, because you guys have been around for a long time, right?
We are old. That is true.
Yeah. But still relevant. I want to add that. I mean, you're still out there continually playing shows, putting out new material. And so,
It's just Broke Neck. And like, and you were there, like, in this whole coagulation of inbred music community people, as like people start trading up, like Faustian used to play with Sickle Theory all the time, which ended up came from Invasive.
Invasive, right.
Yeah, so like at one point it was, we're in a cup, I was in it, got asked to be in a cover band with Darren and Oak and Dan. And so like that's where that came from, is we were all jamming and I was like, well, I have all this Broke Neck material.
Right.
My buddies have been having me record, and Darren was actually supposed to be the original drummer for Broke Neck.
Okay.
Yeah, that was, that's a whole, we'll just have to get all those guys in here to explain how that's.
Yeah, we'll do that one day.
But, yeah, and so, like, out of that, and that started off being just solely acoustic.
Oh, okay.
It was just a bunch of old, like, blues stuff that I was really digging at the time, got into that, and we just jammed that and did a bunch of covers, and eventually it's just like, we're all metalheads.
Yeah.
Start hooking
right
up and playing and getting loud and stuff like that, and then Jason come on board, which is a hilarious story. And we just, and it's turned into basically what it is now.
Right, right. Yeah. And, you know, I think it's funny that you mentioned kind of like the connections of things. I know between me and you and some of the projects we've been in, and even talking with Matt, like, you know, last week on our first episode, about how intertwined, even moving forward to today, for us old heads who are still out there playing, it's just kind of interesting to see, you know, we get to talking and you know, like people that we kind of knew of, like me and Matt, you know, we'd probably like kind of seen each other in passing. We knew of each other's bands, didn't really know each other until we got to talking. It's like, wow, you know, that's kind of cool. And
yeah, it was kind of cool whenever we talked about the Battle of the Bands I had at the Raceway, and you was one of the judges.
Right, right, yeah.
It's just known that as smooth you a little
bit. Right, right.
Maybe I want one more than a $40 tattoo.
Right. But, you know, and that's what makes this community great, you know, and that's, you know, why, you know, I kind of had this idea for this podcast. It kind of came to me. I didn't really plan on being the host of it. And, you know, I pitched it to Jason initially when he first started talking about, you know, doing the underground radio and putting the studio in here. And, you know, I was like, hey, you know, I know a lot of the guys from the past that, you know, they may still be playing, some of them are, but, you know, that might do a podcast like that. And he's like,
yeah.
He goes, that's a great idea. He goes, you want to host it? It's your show, you know? And so I was like, oh, okay.
Nice.
Yeah. Took a little while to get there, but we've gotten there. And I think we got a lot of good feedback from what I've heard from the first
got
episode.
Really good feedback from it.
You know, yeah. And so, you know, you mentioned that, and that's kind of what we talked about, too, is about what under.
I always describe as this whole music community is very inbred.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of that going on.
Right, so. Because it's the crossover projects. Yeah. It's the things that people are doing together. And, you know, like I said, we're just, you know, that one big musical family.
Well, I tell you, like I said, I brought in this whole stack of CDs, and you could go through that and you could be like, okay, there's members of that band and this band.
Right.
That's what another thing I like about that. Oh, new stat. Here's the new statue CD.
Oh, man. Okay, I forgot all
about
that.
But anyway.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And it'd be cool to have a place where all this stuff can go and you guys could kind of collect it and just keep it around.
Right.
Because,
well, I think the plan is you know, as we do these, we get members in with the original material and we talk to other people and, you know, guys like you who have collected that treasure trove of the past music is to try to, you know, get it moved over to the underground radio here and
nice.
right there, Alan, and you know, that's in the works. I guess we're kind of slowly, that's going to be a slow build thing, but, you know, and that'll be kind of cool, you know, people can kind of tune in,
but this stuff needs to move on, because most of my CDs are scratched, so.
Right, right. Yeah, so we got to preserve it, right? You know, we got ways, so, you know.
Yeah. I thought Matt was supposed to be doing this whole thing topless, and what happened to that?
I'm still sleeping.
Well, I'm very disappointed.
Had a very late night last night, the smoke out event.
Right. Now, I just remember, and just want to name drop some names that people probably haven't heard in a long time. But
sure.
Like some of the bands I remember playing with a lot was like Thrust. Thrust was a big one for me.
And who all was in Thrust? I know Justin Brown, wasn't he in Thrust?
Yep. Justin Brown was in that. Mike McClanahan.
Okay.
And then
Big Mike.
Yep. Hunter Cortez.
Yep.
Hoping to get his band down here at some point.
Yeah.
And Robbie Nichols.
Robbie Nichols, okay.
Yeah. And then Shiver was another one that I really like playing with, and that was Tim Hardy and Nick Kreitz, and their singer was Waylon, and I can't remember their...
Was Mike McClanahan in that or not?
No, that wasn't.
No, okay, I guess he wasn't because
he was in Thrust around that same time.
Oh, okay. Yeah, gotcha, yeah.
For Allah, I think he
yeah, and then that event, yeah, that after Thrust, it was, yeah.
And then
for Allah, and
I know, like, Tim and Nick had their little thing, Mashuto, right?
Dude, Mashuto is awesome.
And it is awesome. That was some good stuff. I remember we talked about, like, last week, I believe, we had done one of those festivals back at Rosner's. That's back when, you know, I had Dazzle Annie and Mashuto. I know that they were one of the acts that played, and those guys are awesome.
Yeah.
And I just recently had seen, I don't know, in the last 6 months, it seems like maybe Nick shared a video of something that he was playing, and it was an old song, and kind of maybe hinting at, I don't know if there would be a reunion, and I don't want to be putting out any rumors. Maybe I misread that, but I don't know.
I would be happy to put out rumors about that.
Yeah.
I've talked to him a couple times, and I'm like, come on, Nick, give us the goods. And he's like, I'm trying to get around to it, or, you know.
Right. We ought to try to get them down here, you know, get them at a open jam or an open mic, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I've noticed that's the thing. We get some of these musicians who've kind of put it down for a while, not really playing with anybody, and got these open jams going and open mics, and they've come out.
Mm-hmm.
And it sparked things for them. And, you know, I believe a few acts have probably been formed from some of those, you know, meetings, you know, here and there, little things.
Definitely. It was actually cool. I was listening to Barrett Lewis's podcast, ATI podcast, and he had Rusty on from, who was the band? It was him and Quentin.
Penny's for Allah. Yeah.
Okay. So he's actually got a new thing, and I think it's more of a home recording thing. I can't really remember right now.
Right.
But yeah, like he's still putting out new music, and I went over and checked it out. I'm like, that's awesome. But yeah, so like we're still out there and still doing it. I mean.
Yeah. Cool.
People are still doing stuff, and now like we got the internet, which a lot of people are like, oh, it's bad for music and blah blah blah, but it's like I wasn't making money before Spotify,
right?
And by putting my stuff on, it doesn't affect me whatsoever, so
I'm sure honestly somebody somewhere not from this area has heard you that wouldn't have heard you otherwise.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, like you said, you weren't making money from it before, you weren't signed.
But not making money from it now.
Right, you know, but this gives you the platform to be heard because, you know, you never know.
Yeah.
That's how some people get discovered, you know, kind of, you know, even if you don't get like a recording deal, you might get a licensing deal. You know, somebody likes a song and they want to use it for something, you know. So I think it's great for that.
Yeah, which, I mean, I'm not going to spoil this story because you guys do need to have Jason Asbury on here.
Yeah.
But like the whole thing about how Storm Ruler got its up, I mean, that was totally just like the internet.
Yeah, right. We'll definitely have to have him.
I remember
him
being 16 years old playing a field party out in Davis Crossing.
right.
With his dad. His dad brought him in, and like weed everywhere and beer everywhere. And stay away from all of them.
Yeah. But and then like his dad was awesome about that stuff. He'd bring him out to a Triple X shows, and he'd be up there on stage jamming with Triple X.
Right.
And those guys were like the legendary cover band.
Oh yeah, yeah, yep.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So, what else have you gotten for? You got any other material for us? Anything that?
I messaged Calvin this morning. I was like, I lost all my Grinch stuff. I don't know where it's at. Calvin, don't worry about it because I found it in the stack of CDs that I brought him.
Right on. So, and that's the other thing, too. Just don't want to get too far off into this, but I definitely want to have Calvin on, you know.
Yeah, he'd be a good one. Yeah. And I would like, I don't know if anybody could correct me on this story, because I say it like this, and then I'm like, I'm not sure if that's true, but I'm pretty sure, like, Grinch played the first Bob Reno show that they had, and it was one of those, like, they were having country days down there on Cousins, and we were like the big middle finger to country days.
Right, right.
And, you know, T.J. Hill's family was involved with Bob Reno's.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah. Kind of like his mind baby, and then it ended up being just a bunch of bands playing in the gravel lot behind it.
Right.
I think that was the first one, but I could be wrong.
I mean, you may be right about that. I mean, I wasn't really much in the scene. You know, I was kind of a family man at that time.
Yeah, yeah.
But that sounds right. From what I remember hearing stories from back, you know, not long after. So
snowballed. That was awesome.
Yeah.
I remember playing, there was a house right next to Country Days, and we had like five or six bands lined up for the day, and first band set up out on the lawn, and here comes the cops, like, you got a permit to do this? We're like, nope, and they're like, you shut it down. So we had to take it, move in the house.
Mm-hmm. Why, because it was during Country Days, or just because you're doing that?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, really?
And I think that's why we got the upper edge of that, because I think because Bob was a business owner, he knew that, like, we got to get permits and stuff like that. Yep. So I think it actually worked out. It may have been tried a couple times, and then, you know, stuff like that happened, but
right. Well, you know, and that's the thing that, you know, I want to slam on Farmington, because that was my hometown, but, you know, they weren't real, like,
welcoming
that scene.
Nope.
You know, I remember some of the long haul shows, and I thought they went fine personally. Maybe there was a one-off thing that happened here or there, and then they kind of
Rockhouse didn't last very long down there in Farmington.
Yeah,
no, and you know, and honestly, I mean, there's not a lot going on in Farmington.
Yeah,
Farmington scene, a lot of it's here in Park Hills. You
tell
know,
you what's got true though, people love to bitch. That's what the whole thing is. It's just like,
yeah,
well, not a whole lot going on because you bitch about everything.
Right,
that happens here too. It's not just Farmington.
Oh no,
right. But you know, as far as like the music scene, it seems like it's all kind of centered here in, around Park Hills, you know, I mean, we've got the underground, of course. You know, you've
a
got
a lot of bars starting up. I don't remember a whole lot of bars over in Park Hills until here recently.
Right.
So
it's kind of cool, you know. It's I like it. You know, got the boutique shops and everything, and
stuff now, so,
more stages.
You know, a revitalization of downtown, and it's still an ongoing process. And I see changes all the time, and it's for the good. And
until the yuppies take over and they kick all this stuff out.
right. No, I kind of see this as hopefully the mecca, at least in St. Francis County, for music, which I believe that it kind of already is anyway.
Like,
you know what I mean?
It's kind of up in the city.
It definitely is for, you know, just original music. I mean, there's really nowhere else you can go and play original music around here.
Not unless you go to Cape or St. Louis.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. So.
Well, Festus has got a pretty good scene.
That's starting to get there.
Yeah. I know there's some good bands coming out of that area.
Right.
Yeah, the Cape scene's really cool, too. I like playing down at Cape.
Yeah. Do they do the City of Roses Festival anymore still, or?
I'm not sure about that.
I haven't heard about that anymore. Did you guys ever play that at all?
Uh-huh.
We did that with Invasive. That was one of my last shows with Invasive near the end.
Yeah.
And it was definitely James Pardon's last show with Invasive. So he went out with a bang on that
one. Yeah.
That's a good time, though. So what?
No, that's what I was going to say about the Cape scene, though. Those Red Claw Promotions and everything. See, they're doing all the bar scenes, and that Scattergun's were involved in that, and they're on a hiatus right now. But that's where Negative Whiplash is coming from.
Okay.
I know PFR plays a lot of shows with them down there. Yeah, it's a cool scene, but yeah, I mean, it's still those bands come up here and play with us, and we go down there and play with them, and
it's all
interconnected.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Was Scattered Guns, were they the ones that was going to do Darren's stage last year? Was that the ones that, and then we didn't do it because of the
weather?
Yeah.
No, that was Sacred Fuzz.
Oh, Sacred Fuzz.
Yeah, so hopefully we can get them over there. But we will be playing with them May 11th here at the Underground.
Oh, it's with Sacred Fuzz?
Yeah, Sacred Fuzz and
May 11th,
Holding Ground and, oh, the best band name I've heard in a long time.
Xenomorph Rodeo.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're from over in Illinois somewhere.
So. Yeah.
So that'll be May 11th, right? What's the doors on that one?
Doors at 7, show at 8 probably. Four bands.
What's the cover on that?
$10 probably.
$10. I think $10. Okay. $10. Right on. Awesome. Yeah. Don't want to miss that one. Is that what you guys, that's your next show, I guess?
Yeah, that's our next show. We got a couple more lined up after that. We're currently recording a new album. It's going to be a short little one. I think it's got 8 songs on it, but new stuff, testing out this. We're trying to do it ourselves, the DIY way, so we're trying this out.
Right on.
Yeah.
Cool. You guys are working on an older project right now, right? With the saxophone.
Oh, yeah. That's another thing I was going to bring up. We were talking about how much this needs to get out. But, yeah, Doc Otis is hopefully in the stages of being revitalized.
Awesome.
Working on new material.
Cool.
Working on stuff. So, hopefully, we will be down here and out and about.
Right on.
They were originally
a two-piece, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's, man, that, there's a lot of history here in this town. Because that gets into the whole, it's like Saturday Night Soldiers. And, there's Doc Otis and Otis Wheels. And what did Saturday Night Soldiers come out of? Gettysburg Duck, was that them?
Gettysburg Duck.
Yeah.
That was Josh Litton, Paul McCoy, and Leif Mathis, I think, for a little bit.
Was it?
Gettysburg Duck?
Yeah.
Chelsea area.
Right on.
I think, man, I had a shirt somewhere at one point.
Nice.
Yeah, and I figured that, you know, we'll have to do the, the annual outdoor, at the, what's Darren calling his little
Stonehenge?
Well, that's the fire pit, but it's Flat River Port.
Oh yeah, Flat River Port.
And he's got it all enclosed on the backs and sides, so if there were to be bad weather, it's going to protect.
That's never happened before.
Right, exactly right. I can remember being like, what was it? Just a torrential downpour after I had just brought up those new speakers.
Yeah.
And we ended up playing inside, and
it was awesome. Yeah.
Doc Otis and
I played a show from sitting on the toilet.
Yeah.
And I was like, I have to do this because I'm never going to be able to say I did this again.
But my
cord was right up there, and I just sat.
Where was that at?
Inside.
Oh, was it at that show?
Yep.
I
didn't take my pants off or take a shit or nothing. I was sitting on a toilet.
Yeah. Right on. No, that was fun anyway. It rained us out on the outside.
Do what?
Was it lit up or down?
It was down.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. We shouldn't fall through.
Yeah.
Leaving the seat up. So you got a Grinch song you want to play for us, right? So,
yep. This is, like I said, and it does get fuzzy, but I think this is like late 90s when we recorded
this. What do you think about 97, 98?
Yeah,
is what you were
probably something like
in there.
What's the name of it?
The name of the song is Land.
Okay.
We recorded this up here at Marler's, used to be Marler's Music in the basement.
Is that with Dave Lubers?
Yep, with Dave Lubers.
Okay, right on.
Now, didn't he move somewhere?
Yeah, he moved down to his own place, I think.
That's the last thing I heard.
Noblick area?
Somewhere around there, right. I believe it was, yeah. Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Master's Touch, I think, is what he called.
Yeah, it's like in a red
studio.
Barn looking. Looks like a red barn.
I don't even know if he does anything anymore. But
yeah, I remember recording our album there back
then. Yeah, a lot of the bands around here did record with him, so
it's
interesting.
Okay.
Go ahead and play this one. This is Grinch Land.
When I land, you all will go down.
So that was Land by Grinch, circa 97, 98.
Yeah, I think so.
So I think this is going to wrap up this episode. I want to thank you, Josh, for coming in and talking with us on our second episode here on the SFC Retro Show.
It was fun.
And
I like reminiscing.
Oh, yeah. Oops.
Absolutely. So, you know, probably have you again, you know, later on down the road. I'm sure there's a lot more that we could talk about. I'm sure we've just only scratched the surface.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, like I said, get some more people on here and we'll dig this hole deeper. And
right, absolutely.
See where it goes. So, it's going to be a big hole.
So tell us again about your upcoming show.
Yep, we got this May 11th coming up, the Throwdown in the Underground, I think it's what it's called. That's going to be a lot of fun. Come on out.
May 11th. Okay.
Tickets are $1 million each.
Right.
Only need to sell one.
And then you have made it the big time, right?
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. So, this is Frank.
Matt Jenkerson, Sr.
And I want to thank...
I want to bring up real quick.
Yeah.
Calvin's name does come up a lot, I've realized, in these conversations.
Right.
But the truth is, Calvin McRoy doesn't really exist.
Okay.
So just, if you really think about it,
yeah,
you've never actually been in a room with Calvin before.
Yes.
He's a myth.
Yes, now that she's,
yeah,
that she's mentioned that, you know.
Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting thought.
All right. Just want to let you leave off with that.
We're going to thank Alan for his technical expertise and Kyle for adding his color commentary. I love it. It's great. So
you didn't even say anything the whole time?
I don't think so.
Welcome to the show, Kyle.
we thank Kyle for his technical expertise as well.
Yes, absolutely, because Kyle, you know, produces the show, and, you know, he puts it out there for us, and, you know, Alan, him and Alan, if we couldn't do it without them.
And his boy for his sweet Bass Pro Shop hat.
Yeah. Right on. So
hanging up my cabin right now.
Until the next show, I want to thank you all for listening in, and have a good one.
Peace out.